Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. We the real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
Spit it till you say Little West, the little beast that made the Midwest flow like the Middle East. Peace. Couldn't afford the S-Class, so I had to cop that baby mama Benz Jeep. With put 50, I get the first tape of that 50 that break the bank. Back when ATM was crazy slim, had a girl named Spreewell, because when I tried to stop, she still made me spin. Back when 80s was in, my dog Crazy Ken had 80 in him.
First freestyle of the year.
Of 2018.
It's not freestyle.
It's a cover.
It's a Rob Hayes cover. What's up, everybody? This is the Bookie A. We're back. First episode of 2018. How you been, man?
Good. I'm Rob Hayes.
Oh, yeah. I'm Chris Daniels. I forgot. I guess we got to reintroduce ourselves. I want to tell them the news early. Can we tell them?
What's the news?
Rob Hayes is gonna be on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. It'll be airing either the day of this comes out or the day after. If you don't watch a day of, make sure you go on YouTube, watch it, get the boy some views, give him those good comments. All yay sayers, I'm expecting to flood the comment section.
Yo, I thought you were gonna say that Kanye had a child named Chicago, because you're always worried about people's kids.
You know what? It's a new year. I'm trying to change my ways. If I might have a sordid history of addressing people's children on this show, but you know what? It's all in the spirit of... I'm losing myself here.
The spirit of what? I'm trying to figure out what the spirit is.
I'm enjoying you.
Be very careful.
Down
it's 2018.
All right, see, here's what happens. Every time we come back to this about somebody's kids, I dig a hole and then I can't get out of it. And that becomes a problem. And it's not like I'm trying to mess with people's kids. I'm just saying, you know, for a long time, I thought Blue Ivy was four different child actors. It's fine. You know, you got to come around to certain ideas.
You thought it was a conspiracy theory?
I thought I saw two of them get into a black truck one time.
Speaking of digging holes that they can't get out of, we have a guest.
Hey! Thank you for having me on, ? My name's Alexis Guerreros, by the way. I knew you were going to say it, but what the hell?
I mean, I was about to intro you. I know what you wanted me to say. But we have an ongoing, we got an ongoing like debate / argument /
is it
two stubborn people won't back down?
Is it? I think you and I have met in the middle. I don't think you think you're wrong. I don't think I think I'm wrong. But at the end of the day,
that's not meeting in the middle.
Well, no,
I don't.
That's a disagreement.
I think we both, or at least I assume.
I know I'm right. It's not about thinking I'm wrong. I know I'm right.
We both assumed. At least I assumed at the end of our last argument, where we were just like, at least I was tired of having it. Well, I was like, you know what? We both understand where each other coming from. Because I think you understand my thing is that, and for reference, since I'm sure the people, your yay sayers, ain't been a part of these arguments because they're not around comedy clubs. The first thing I said was I thought Atlanta ruined hip hop. And then.
You hear this?
And then Rob Hayes.
You hear this? Oh, I remember you telling me that.
Rob Hayes' head exploded and he started giving me all this data, which again, you're not wrong. But to me, the golden era, that cadence, that, and it doesn't even have to be boom bop. It could be triplets. It could be anything, right?
New York, the birthplace of chicken noodle soup, claims that Atlanta ruined hip hop.
Because to us, you don't understand, like,
Let it rain,
the way it was presented to us, It's different when you're from Atlanta. It's different. You heard it differently. The way Atlanta was presented to us here was like all of a sudden, like, okay, Outkast doesn't count because to me they're
like
huge.
Wait, no.
They're
why huge. Would Outkast not count?
How about this?
When they're from Atlanta.
No, because
when
they came earlier than the Rush.
They recorded their music in Atlanta, in Georgia, yes. Red Clay, in the dungeon, in dirt, in Atlanta.
They came before the Rush. They came before the scene.
They are the catalyst for the Rush. Like, what are
then
you talking about?
Then why didn't anyone sound like them?
Plenty of people sound like
them. A lot
them.
Of people like, but yo, we had... It was all party music. And I think at the end, after it's all boiled down.
It's not all party music.
It wasn't. They're not. After that, I'm talking like the Ying Yang Twins, Lil Jon, who are the dudes that were A-Town stepping, Youngbloods. All this music was party music. And for us, it's like, that's not what we listened to. Hip hop for us was different. So all
didn't
this.
Didn't DMX have a song called Party Up?
Yeah, and he had all Y'all Gonna Lose My Mind. I'm not saying party music didn't exist in New York.
It's called Party Up.
Yeah, but I'm not saying party music didn't exist in New York. It certainly existed. But if Big you look pimpin'. At it general, that also had Southern dudes in it.
Okay. And Jay-Z would not be where he is today if it wasn't for Big Pimpin'. So what are you saying?
I'm not
he
saying
needed
anything.
People from the South.
Yo, when I heard that track for the first time, I had no idea who Bumby and Pimp C were. When I heard
what
that for
that
the first time.
What does that have to do with me?
Well, I'm saying
what
is.
What does that have to do with hip hop?
Well, I'm saying is he introduced that to us, and their bars to us were trash at the time because, like, yo, why does it sound all like confused and not rhyming with the. It's
see,
not on beat.
That's the party. That's the problem. You're at a party, they play Big Pimpin', and you are worried about the, like, why do the verses sound like this? Instead of having a good time, man.
No, I think it's
just
cause...
have a good time. Just relax,
well,
bro.
Well, first of all, you know we can't do that up here. At least we couldn't. Now we can. But,
You couldn't have a good time up here?
You can't show yourself having a good time. Not a lot. At least not when I was growing up.
Kid and Play are from Queens.
Kid and Play.
Are from Queens.
And they're not hip-hop. That's pop.
What do you mean they're not hip-hop?
That shit was pop. None of us listen to that, and that's way before my time anyway.
I'm saying they made House Party
to us. Nas,
but he's
is
talking
what
about.
You listen
I think
to
he's talking
party.
About like that's every
Nas
song.
Nas' first song is Live at the Barbecue. That yeah. sounds like having a good time.
But what I'm saying is like Illmatic, Stillmatic, Affirmative Action. That's the shit we used to listen to at parties.
Affirmative Action.
Yeah.
What's that?
The track with Cormega, AZ.
That sounds like a whack party.
A white party.
Whack.
A whack party. That was fun. That was
well,
fun.
You
to
said every
hey, can
song
you play
now,
Affirmative every... Action? There's some black people here. Like, what is, hey, man, what the hell?
No, it was dope. But we also didn't like, I forgot who the dude is, man. Who's the dude? He's a very funny comic from Atlanta. A black dude, a little bit bigger, wears his shirts buttoned up all the way. Always has a big smile on his face. He was a part of the festival. I can't remember his name.
You're talking
funny.
About David Perdue.
Yes. All right. So he was like, he goes, here's my problem with New York motherfuckers.
Shout out to David Perdue. Shout out to his beats, yeah. Which would have got me there quicker. You know what I'm saying?
He is hilarious, by the way. He was like, why none of y'all smile in photos? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, none of you guys smile in photos. He's like, why New Yorkers never smile in photos? And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. I never noticed that.
But that used to be what you had to do. Like, you weren't supposed to smile in photos.
100%.
Bad Boy wasn't party music.
It was later.
Supercat, you can't party to that. Super what you mean cat. It was later?
Dance hall?
That's the first. I'm saying that's the first Bad Boy song. Yeah. Talking about it was later.
I mean, Flavor and Years technically also like dancey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like you just talk about how so many songs now. Like you go to a party and the dudes wasn't all dancing by themselves. Whereas now is a lot of songs and it's just but like you could see
you could yeah you could dance now. Now you could dance by yourself. I don't think that happened a lot. You would bop your head way more than you danced back in the day. I feel bad because this argument is also just me saying I'm an old head.
But you're blaming a city that kept it going and saying that they killed it.
I say it
like what was happening in New York like Atlanta.
50 Cent essentially killed it.
Where's he from?
From New York. He killed it.
Exactly.
He made it where you had to be him or nobody else. And he sounded a little Southern. So next thing you know, fucking, there was no one in New York.
50 Cent did not sound Southern.
Yeah, he did. He even says it in one of his tracks.
He says it. He's from here. He don't know. Come on, man.
He even says, because I sound
you
mad
Southern.
You
can't take his word from him. He's not from the South. He's from here.
You don't think he sounds a little Southern sometimes?
No. He just sounds like he got shot.
Yeah.
I'm not talking.
You think that's what Southern accent comes
just some
in the
dude
origin?
Who gets shot?
You get shot and then you sound like Kevin Spacey in House of Cards.
I don't get it.
I don't watch House of Cards.
Not anymore, bro.
I'm ahead of the game.
Hashtag me too.
He has, okay, well, the people who do watch House of Cards, they got that, and they slap me high five.
Why? Because he says the H's? That's the only thing I know about his accent in House of Cards. He says, like, what?
He sound like Froghorn Leghorn on that show. Y'all really don't watch it. He got the strongest accent. He sound like he from the 1800s.
But I can't tell the difference between, like, what's he trying to do, like a Tennessee accent, right? I can't tell the difference between that and
that's
like Texas.
That actor accent. No one in the South sounds like that anymore. That's what people in the South sounded like in like
I was surprised
1797.
Like people from West Chicago sound more Southern than people in Atlanta. That bugs my mind. Like Lil Rel to us sounds way more
they
Southern
got their
than
own,
to
they got their own accent. It's not the same. But they do.
But you
have,
get what I'm saying. You would understand
have,
where I come
they
from.
Do
that
have
sounds
an
a little
accent.
Southern.
Yeah, they know. Yeah. They stretch out different parts of words and like
they even say like fitting.
And you can hear
like
you can hear
a,
that in
it's
like
kind of a draw too.
Yeah,
you can hear that
it's
in Kanye, and then you could
thing,
definitely
though.
Hear it in like other people that was on like old Kanye stuff, like GLC and Consequence. And, well, not Consequence. Yeah. Really though, you could definitely hear like. Oh, and Don C. When you hear Don C talk, now that is that.
That's that real West.
That's
West
that
Chicago?
Real Chicago, yeah.
Detroit always sounded very East Coast to me, like the accent. I didn't hear very like much Midwest in Detroit's accent. You from Detroit or Detroit like proper?
I'm from Detroit, but I feel like, yeah, you know, we're talking about guys like Royce, fucking Trick Trick. They just had like a rougher sound.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it was more about. They like Midwest draw. People, I still to this day don't know what this like Midwest accent is. I've been told.
To me, it's like that don't you know, like that kind of thing.
I don't know if it's like that. I don't, I feel
like that's the white version.
Yeah.
That's the white Midwestern accent.
That's the Midwestern accent.
No. Black Midwestern accent is like that St. Louis, like they're her.
That
you
to
know,
me is very specific to St. Louis, though.
No,
like
it's
if
not.
You ever
I'm
go,
saying,
to,
no, I'm
if
telling
you
to
go
me
to
because I don't know people from that area.
Like,
outside
you
of,
say
like
what up though? You say what up though is like a certain way.
Yeah,
it's just like I don't know. It just comes out a certain way. Like if I get like my voice gets higher, if I get like angry or whatever, it comes out more. I don't
to
know.
Me, when I get angry, I start to go all Spanish. Like I start to Ricky Ricardo when I get real angry.
All right, let's see if we can get him there.
That's my base. Rob's trying.
I don't know.
It's
how
amazing you sound Ricky Ricardo, but you got the logic of Lucy. You know what I'm saying?
You really upset about that statement, huh?
Why would I not be? It's not factual. It's disrespectful.
I don't understand how you can't understand that I'm telling you from our perspective. I'm not the only person who believes this. There's a lot of I've had this conversation with a lot of people. To us, when hip hop started to slide away from lyricism, was the generation that Atlanta took over. So it's obvious to us that it was like, oh, then it must be their fault.
That's
a bad
said,
way of looking
bump,
at it.
Stickety, bump, stickety.
See,
the head bone connected to the neck bone. The
trash
neck bone
bars
connected
existed
to the
forever.
Hearty, heart, heart, heart. Yeah. If you don't get out of my face trying to blame Atlanta.
I don't understand. That's a straw man argument, though. You're assuming that I'm saying that trash bars never existed until Atlanta got
but
here.
But you're like, even the examples that you gave. Like, some, I mean, the Yin Yang Twins.
These were,
being
yo,
who they were.
Every eighth song was one of the, was Lil Jon or Yin Yang Twins or Young Bloods or,
but you
or
can't
Young
tell
Jock.
Me that the Whisper song wasn't just, like, creative. You can't tell me that the Whisper song wasn't just hip-hop. If anyone else had done that, it would have been like, look at, like, all the stuff you could still do with this genre. Like, this is amazing. Hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper.
See, to me, all those
like come on.
I don't
to
think
me,
you should be
those,
trying to keep them all in the same lane. I feel like when it started, yeah, I remember there's a lot of stuff. I'm like, what is this? Like, where is substance in a lot of shit? But at the same time, if you just take it and say it's hip hop, but put it in a different lane of hip hop, it's but like you all know, right. Just
and then
do that.
And then here's where I'll
it's
tell
all
you
the same.
Here's where it's I'll tell you my. I'm willing to admit. I don't know if it's ignorance or naivety. It's something, but to me, hip hop was something that you kept refining. Right, like look at it as something that I can more easily explain, like pizza. To me, pizza is round, it's got fluffy edges, it's got sauce, and it's got cheese, and that's it, right? And then someone's like, oh, but look over here. I'm making it with this type of flour, and I'm putting this crazy shit on it. To me, it's like, well, that's not pizza, it's this. You keep making this better by little refining, little by little. To me, hip-hop was the substance of the bars themselves, the cadence itself had a very specific sort of sound. And it kept getting better and better and better. And then all of a sudden, shit started popping up in this other lane. And we were all like, well, what are you doing over there? Like, yo, the bars don't even matter over there. Like, why are you over there? Why are you doing that? Am I dancing to it? Yeah, I played half that music at my wedding. I enjoyed it. I'm just saying, to us, it wasn't. Hip-hop didn't continue. It wasn't still a gladiator sport. It still wasn't a competitive sport.
It's not a sport. It's music.
Okay, but at one point, it was a competitive sport in essential. Yes, it was.
It was never in the Olympics.
Okay.
It was never a sport.
You know exactly. Come on,
you
know what
I mean. They don't talk about hip-hop on ESPN. They'll get rappers to come on and talk about sports, but they don't talk about rap on First Take. It's not a sport.
If you're going to take that literally,
it's music. Jalen Rose tried to yesterday. They shut him down real quick.
It's music.
Sure, but there was it mattered at one point as to who's the best MC. It mattered at one point. That doesn't matter anymore.
I have to ask because of the
analogy.
It
still matters who's the best MC.
Who do you think is the best MC right now?
People are arguing over whether Kendrick is the best MC right now.
Mm-hmm.
That argument never stopped.
Yeah, I don't.
And the people who are making the music that you're talking about that you say is like kind of ruining everything, they're fine. They're like, I don't even think they're trying to be part of that argument.
Yeah, no, they're not. And I think that also kind of upsets me to some degree when I hear people be like, yeah, I don't care if my lyrics aren't good. I'm out here having fun. To me, it's like, well,
the Migos can rap. And if you don't think the Migos can rap, you're crazy. If you don't think Young Thug can rap, you're crazy.
I think Thug is great. I think Migos is very good. I think the music is better than their ability
to rap.
The
Migos is more hip-hop than a lot of people. They switching off like Run DMC. They really on some, like, you know, like,
I think,
you don't know where it's going to come from next. Like, really just, you know, when you watch them freestyle on Sway Together, it's a cipher. They're really vibing. That's hip-hop.
Sure. I'm not going to take that away from them. I'm not going to put them on a certain level lyrically. Because, like, what is it? If you hate him, call him Joe Button. Coop outside and it's push button. I mean,
what's wrong with that?
Just because
that's
it rhymes doesn't make
word.
It a good bar. That's like,
so
you're
going to
talk
great,
shit about something, and then all of a sudden you're talking about your car outside, which you've talked about in 19 tracks before that. It's like that type of shit would not have passed in the generation that I think was lyrically the most important generation.
You're a dork. You never been a sport.
I'll give you credit for that. There's a lot of people making the same song over and over again.
I mean, that's, it's like, fair.
But people, yo.
But it's fun.
What are you gonna
the
do with
tracks
the audience
are fun.
When the audience is taking it in and paying for it and enjoying it? You can't really do much about it.
Mama. Well,
I mean, if you, then we should be saying the same thing about comedy. You know.
I don't do this podcast talk about comedy.
No, but what I'm saying is it's like it's the same thing. If people are paying for, you know, shitty Instagram comedians, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see that on the podcast or hear it. If someone's paying for that, does that make that now
people
the best
like
comedian?
People like seeing Instagram videos of when a hot girl walks down the street and then chaos ensues.
Sure. But what I'm saying is that the same as what we're doing? We're
no,
working real
it's
hard
not the same because
to make jokes
if you're good,
that have substance and people are coming out with trash, but they're selling out theaters because they're more popular. Does that make that person a better comedian than you, who's about to be on The Tonight Show, congratulations, because of real fucking good jokes that you've workshopped and made better?
But it's not the same. It's not the same because you are blaming like the way things are changing. Like, rap is the voice of the disenfranchised.
Yep.
The Migos come from an area of Atlanta that was not only just ignored by the people, but it was also ignored by hip-hop. It was ignored by the community in Atlanta.
Somebody in Atlanta told me that. They're not Decatur, right? They're from the north side. It's a different name. I can't
they're
remember.
From the north side, yeah.
But what's the, there's a, isn't there a term for that city, that part of the city? It's not just the north side.
I mean, you could call it the north. They're from Gwinnett.
Gwinnett. All right. So somebody told me that people used to not fuck with people from Gwinnett because it's more suburban.
That was the thought process.
Yeah.
Then like, Gangland came out. We found out, it was going down up there. Didn't even know.
Where's Little Mexico? Because that's where Future from, right? That's more east side?
I don't know.
He just.
I don't know if Little Mexico is a place.
Yeah, that's what
I've never heard that.
Calls that in his. He calls it in his tracks. He calls it Little Mexico. Anyway, long story short.
But that doesn't mean that that's a place.
That's where he says he's from. So I'm assuming that was a neighbor. I don't know Atlanta, so I could be wrong.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Little Mexico could be deeper than just, oh,
like a block by block area.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what I call Taco Bell.
But you know, hilarious. People don't think people from Atlanta can be deep in their raps.
I never said that.
Can we get to Kanye?
Rob don't want to. You invited me a guest in your podcast.
I didn't invite you. Chris invited you.
So you don't want me here?
Whoa. You co-signed this. Get out of here.
You told me it was gonna be civil.
I didn't know it was gonna get like this.
All right. Hey man, he's still going.
You won't stop until I back down. That's not in my blood. So we could just agree to disagree.
As we
and
segue,
move on.
I have All a right. question just based
I'm being serious.
Just on the analogy.
I like you. I don't want there to be beef because I said he fucked up hip hop.
You know, like you're saying nice things, but you looking intense. Like you're looking like you better slap me, even though I wouldn't.
Alexis got the Arthur fist under the table.
I'm not built that way. If I had a problem with you, I would say, I don't think we have a problem. I get where you come from, and I think you know where I come from. You just don't agree with what I'm saying. And I'm willing to let it go.
I think he's insulted by what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's the main
But thing. I've already told you, and I've said this to your face. If I insulted you, then I'm sorry. Because that wasn't what I was trying to say. I was trying to explain to you where we came from in a place different than you. And then you tried to explain to me where you come from in a place different than me. And I was willing to accept, like, oh shit, I could see why you see it that way now. You've never once even pretended to think about the way I see it.
No.
I don't understand how you can't understand. That was how it was presented to us. Remember when hip hop used to just be on the radio? Remember that? Like you accepted?
I don't. Really? I always lived in a video soul, you know what I'm saying, rap city world.
All right, well, nonetheless, it's kind of the same. What I mean is like...
Yo MTV Raps came out when I was one.
Yeah,
I never saw
Yo MTV Raps. I'm not 75.
you're making it sound like, you know, remember when rap was just on the radio? No. Like, what does the Sugar Hill Gang look like? You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to tell you, it's like we couldn't go out and search for our own shit unless we bought mixtapes. Like, we couldn't go online and find, like, what's dope. I had no idea what was happening in Atlanta outside of what they were playing on the radio or what was on like MTV or like VH1 Soul or The Box, which they still had in my neighborhood, which was dope. So what we were presented with was clearly not what you were hearing. When I was talking to some of those comedians in Atlanta, they were like, what about this? What about this? What about this? I'm like, we never had those mixtapes where I'm from. I never heard that. I never heard those tracks. All we heard was the pop shit. So to us, the stuff we were presented with as being from Atlanta was trash. A lot of it was trash. Not all of it. We all loved Outkast gets a pass all day, every day. That's some of the best music I've ever heard comes out from out of those two, independent or together. Nonetheless, some of the other stuff we were presented with was trash. So we all looked at it and said, well, that's what everybody likes now. So that must be the reason why it sucks.
Okay, so you can't make a statement and then claim ignorance. Because you're making a statement
I claimed ignorance
Atlanta,
a few minutes ago before
Atlanta
I said
killed,
I turned on this
Atlanta
conversation.
Atlanta killed hip-hop is what
I said,
you
ruined,
said.
Ruined.
Ruined hip-hop is what you said.
Yeah.
And then you're going to claim... But we were ignorant of who was good from Atlanta. So,
I think that makes all the sense in the world, actually.
So why are you still holding on to the statement? Because if you're saying that the statement is based on ignorance, why are you still holding on to the statement?
Because those trash artists still did exist and still did come from
both
Atlanta.
Can be true.
Trash artists exist. Everywhere.
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 The overwhelming abundance. At the same time that New York hip hop dipped and was no longer important, Atlanta took over. And that bridge.
It wasn't like New York artists went away. They weren't good.
I mean,
good.
They kind of did. They weren't good, but they also weren't being developed. There's a lot of reasons for it. But they weren't good. Even modern day big New York artists. I mean, I don't want to say certain names because these dudes are real shooters. But I'm like,
Young Draco.
I thought he was from Atlanta when I first heard him, by the way.
Exactly.
Oh, the whole world. Yeah.
So same thing with Fetty, by the way. As soon as I was like, I can't believe he's from New Jersey. Yeah, he's from Patterson.
He sings more than he raps.
Shouts to Silk
His
City,
singing
by the
rap
way.
Ratio and Bobby Brown singing the rap ratio is the exact same. I read an article about it. I sent it to you.
I think Monty is a better rapper out of all those Remy boys. But nonetheless, When I heard those dudes, I first thought they were from Atlanta. And those are two dudes who I didn't respect at first. That lets you know what we thought of was coming originally from that city.
I figured it out. Who broke your heart from Atlanta? Everything you don't like, you blame it on Atlanta.
That's not true.
I thought Fetty was from Atlanta. I thought they was from Atlanta.
I didn't say I thought 50 was from Atlanta. I know he's from Queens.
Why won't Cynthia call me back, man?
I've been married 11 years. I ain't worried about no girl. Nonetheless, by the way, I want to say with all due respect after saying all that, I fucking love the city of Atlanta now that I've been there.
Hey, man. It's fucking Atlanta, dope. The city where Kanye West was born.
a hell of a segue right there.
Way to bring it home.
Buddy. Yeah.
I was going to ask him what he thought of Chicago-style pizza, just on a pizza analogy.
Let's not do it.
Oh, is that deep?
I can't beef with both of y'all. Where are you from? Where's the producer from? I'm going to tell you something in your shit. He sucked.
All right, let's get into
DC?
Let's
Philly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll keep looking this way.
They're riding high over there.
Good luck in the Super Bowl, because anybody that beats
let's
the
get
Patriots
into some stuff we missed. There's a new addition to the West family. Kanye had a daughter. It's a daughter, right?
Shy, yeah.
Daughter named, not just Shy, Chicago.
Chicago.
You know
Chicago
what the nickname is going to be.
Nobody's going to call that baby Chicago.
Actually, it'll the article y'all sent me, it shy. Says Shy. Like, yeah. That's actually the
because that's what
name.
Everybody was like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm going to say Shy. It's a great like short name. Shy is great.
Yeah, Shy is great.
You know? But you don't want the full name to be the name of a city, though.
I mean.
Why not?
I don't know. Doesn't that sound a little like they didn't really try?
I mean, Jay-Z said if I had a daughter, her name would be Brooklyn Carter. But you know what I'm saying? Kanye didn't talk about it. He was about it and actually named his daughter after his
I feel like Kanye tried to do it the first time.
Although, you know what? Now that you say that, Beckham's got a kid named Brooklyn. A lot of people got a kid named Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You guys remember Uncle Luke had a reality show? You know, mm-hmm. Luke from Two Love Crew?
Yeah.
One of the last scenes from one of the only episodes I saw, right after when they used to roll credits, they would have like a cut scene or something. He was at a barbershop in someplace in South Florida. And the guy's like, yeah, he's like, this girl in Baltimore says she said I got her pregnant. It's like, I got to go up to Baltimore and see the kid. And he's like, oh, what's the name? He said, Brooklyn. And he was like, yeah, you named the kid Brooklyn? He's like, no, I never named the kid Brooklyn. I would never name a kid Brooklyn. He's like, if I had a kid, I'd name it Opa-locka, which it's a city, like it's a part
okay.
of Florida.
That's hilarious.
That is so fucking funny. I would love to meet a kid named Opa-locka.
That Luke show was underrated. Luke is actually like a good parent and, you know, his life is wild.
Yeah.
He's Luke Skywalker.
He's still Luke and he's also like a good parent.
Yeah, it was like... I think sometimes when your life is too together, it doesn't make for a good reality show.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, you know, there wasn't going to be no scam. Luke's got his stuff in order. He does his freak shows and then he comes home to his wife. Like, he's kind of, you know, got everything together. Like, you really need, like, some dysfunctionality.
That's why I didn't like that Rev Run show.
You didn't like it?
Nah, I'm like, I get it. He's like a
religious
dude.
Well, they couldn't keep up the perfect thing.
Yeah, the kids were the most interesting part of that shit, because they you knew they were fucking up.
Well, and you knew they were going to be messed up. Like, Team Blackout was not going to. I mean, we tried, but, you know, then they all started putting out music. They all, like when Angela came out with that video out of nowhere, it was like, well, they didn't even do an episode about this.
Yeah, this just this
they
brand
skipped
new.
That on... I remember when I would go get my hair done, I was forced to sit and watch Growing Up Hip Hop in the chair.
Oh, yeah?
So they skipped that formula. So it was all the kids of, like, these stars trying to make music now, and, like, none of them seem like they're going to, like...
Yeah.
Like Romeo and Dame Dash Kid and all these people, and it's like...
Well, remember Diggy had that one freestyle that, like, lit up the internet?
Yeah, I don't know what
Diggy had a mixtape.
Did he put out a whole tape?
Diggy had a really good mixtape. Diggy had some actual tracks and stuff.
Only
he
reason
had some
I knew
songs
about-
on 106 and Park. I got pulled over one time listening to Diggy's mixtape, and I never felt so grown and so much like a child at the same time. I'm like, man,
that's a real juxtaposition right there.
I did not want to go to jail. And the last rap I heard was from Diggy's.
Wearing pastries.
Yo, I want to give a personal shout out to anybody that got pastries in the bottom of their closet, because I know good and well you're not walking around with them now.
No, you holding on. Mm-hmm. Those are like ice creams, female ice creams.
Yo, it's a dude on Instagram. He has all the ice cream.
Really?
Yeah, like King of Creams, I think is his name. He got like all of them. Like from 03, like the ones that was like $200 all the way to the ones that was on the table at Foot Locker for $10. He got all of them.
You think they'll ever make a comeback? Impressive. I thought Bape was dead in the water after the whole like patent leather shit went away.
But then, but Bape then is it was back. Like a resurgence.
Yeah, Bape is back all the way. But I think you just got to make your shit expensive.
Yeah. Or you need an excuse, too. Can't just make an excuse.
It's got to have a good story. Like, Bape has something that they could do a lot with, you know?
The Japanese
like,
dude?
Like, I'm saying, like, they freak the camo so many different ways. Yeah. You know, they got, you know, all the collabs they make, you know, they change the way stuff looks. Like, you know, when you see something, Bape, you know it's Bape.
Yeah, for sure.
But they dodged a bullet because I don't know if Bape could come out now with the, you know, cutest monkey in the jungle and stuff. People mad at H&M. I was like, well, I guess I can't wear my Bape tees today. Cause
you heard that kid's mom is like, why is everyone freaking out? Yeah, she's like, well, I was there.
She's
trying to get them checks.
She's trying to keep getting money.
That and like apparently like they're from like Switzerland and like they're not from here. And it's I know a bunch of people who are just
But that the monkey thing is still a thing in Europe, though.
Yeah,
they knew.
They threw bananas at Thierry Henry. What's the freaking soccer reference?
Is it Balotelli? Is that his name?
They never threw bananas at Thierry Henry. They threw it at Drogba.
Banana peels.
Drogba. Didier Drogba.
Who's the guy who had the blonde mohawk?
Balotelli.
No. It's whatchamacallit.
He's not English.
Yeah, he is.
I thought he was French.
I'm sorry, he's French. He gets a pass. You're right. He played in England at the time. Didier Drogba was from
this Cartier man got a War. Soccer podcast. You know what I mean?
And Thierry Henry is my favorite player of all time. his father's from Guadeloupe. I know it all. But it was Didier Drogba because he came from Africa to the English league, and they gave him hell. They threw coins at him, dog.
That's terrible.
Balotelli had my favorite quote about people throwing bananas at him on the pitch, where he was just like, if anybody throws bananas at me, I'll just go to jail because I will kill them.
Yeah. Balotelli, he knows. Like, he knows how to handle it because he got adopted by an Italian family from Ghana. So he lived in Italy, which is a dramatically racist place. And they gave him shit all the way. I'm like, yo, even when he scores for your fucking national team, you give him shit? That's why when the shit started happening here with, like, all the fucking pitchforks, I was like, well, I mean, it's only a matter of fucking time before that shit came here.
Kanye tried to tell us. He tried to tell us how they was doing in the fashion world out there.
Trying to pull him back into the Kanye? I got a Kanye conspiracy for you guys.
Okay.
This is something y'all didn't put in the rundown.
Uh-huh.
Somebody told me. This is somebody who was heavily connected in the hip-hop game for a long time. I don't think they are as much anymore. Somebody told me that at first, I don't know if you guys remember, like, he was trying to do the fashion thing and he was kept getting pushed out. Like, he wasn't really allowed, like, to quote-unquote sit at the table. He didn't get a seat at the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't really allowed. And then all of a sudden, he was. So the question was, what happened? What changed? And he was like, oh, a lot of people are saying he gave up the butt. Which I don't believe.
You said all that to say that?
That's what he... No, but this is like someone who believes this. They believe that that's what he did. That he was willing to do that for the culture.
Yo, man.
This might be the laziest conspiracy theory I've ever heard.
That was the wackest thing
you could
thing
say
I've
that
heard.
About anything.
Yeah.
True. But I'm saying like people are openly talking about that. I'm like, that sounds... really dumb. And he was like, that's what people telling me.
That dude is going around saying, you know how Barack Obama got the nom, right? You know, they were like, you want to be a community organizer in Chicago your whole life? And he was like, you know, I got big dreams. And then, you know what? You got to give up the butt. Like, what is this, a Boondocks episode?
When this person said this to you, were they in front of you or behind you?
Underneath me, actually.
Man. That's the first time anybody said that on the podcast. I mean, I really think he went to Germany, you know, to Adidas, and Adidas already had everything you needed to get it going.
We all agree that the Nike stuff is better than the Adidas stuff, right? Or you guys
it's
disagree?
It's different.
It certainly is, but
it's different.
How would you rate sneaker for sneaker though? I like the fact that it's lower value now, like. Lower price, I should say, so like it's easier for a lot more people to have it.
What do you mean lower price?
Yeah, you can't.
But the Nike shit was like, I never saw. I mean, I didn't follow it really closely, but the thing with like the like the gills on the back of it. That pair that he made for the Nike shit, that
retail
was
retail for like $245.
Yeah, but dude, you couldn't find that shit for like less than $1,500, $1,800. The Yeezys you can find a lot easier. But seems he like doesn't like have a higher
control
value
over that.
You could choose how much you make.
You can't choose you can't how much resale, the resale market, value. Though.
No, but if you flood the market with it, the price goes down. Everyone understands that.
I don't know the numbers.
Depends on the demand. Like the you know like
well, how
the,
much are they
the
making?
The 700s go for that much, but the 350s don't. But the 700s are you know retail for 300 and something. I mean it's just you know some of it you can dictate, some of it you can't. I like the Adidas stuff. I really like the Adidas stuff. I like the Nike stuff. I just think it's different. I think the Nike stuff was, you know, corresponding with the way people wore their clothes
then,
in
yeah.
that time period. You
a lot
know?
More mids and highs.
And the Adidas stuff is a reaction to a change in silhouette. So, you know, like it's gonna be different. And, you know, time has gone on. Like Kanye, you know, isn't nowhere near the same design-wise that he was in 2009 and 2012. So,
he's not the same at all. I kind of wish he was still chubby. I just saw an updated photo of him. He's back to being skinny again.
Yo, shout out to my dude's MacBook Grip. MacBook Grip is amazing. You know what I'm saying?
You talk about that photo, right?
I didn't see. Yeah, the one where he has his laptop with him.
Two fingers. Yeah. The laptop. Thumb, index. That's all you need.
the least safe way I've ever seen anybody hold a laptop. That's
so dope.
The carelessness of it.
The way we treat notebooks is the way he treats a laptop, though. I mean,
yeah, he probably like is good at flipping a laptop. Yeah, like, hey, look at this, and then he just like flips it up in the air,
and that's how he closes it.
Hold this, fam.
Yeah, yeah, he probably like tosses it. Like, hey, Don, look at this, and then just like.
And like if you got in your hand like a Gen 1 iPad, you'd be like, yo, look at what I have on it. You probably would toss it.
See, this is why when you brought this up, and it was like a lot of people are like, oh, the new albums could be on his laptop. And I'm like, look how he's holding it. There's no way that's his album.
This is somebody else's album.
This is Tiana Taylor's music. This is shit. This is
John Legend B-side.
Saha is like ready to catch the laptop at any moment. He's ready to dive in.
Saha's underneath it, got his hands out. Yo, watch it.
Kanye, no, come on. Three fingers, please.
Why can't I get on like the hard drive in the vault that you have in the back of the car? Nope. We got you.
Please tell me you put it in the cloud. Please put it in the cloud. Before we leave, I seen how you was walking around with that laptop. Please.
I don't care if it leaks. I don't
back
care
up your stuff.
You mind if I just put my flash drive in there real quick? He's just like, he's always walking around with flash drive.
Oh, man.
Looks like Good Fridays are back.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake tried to steal Good Fridays.
Did he?
Y'all seen that?
I haven't paid attention.
Have y'all seen that? First of all, your man JT, you know what I'm saying? We on you. We see what you're doing. First of all, he put out a track list on a piece of legal pad on Twitter. Interesting.
That's a kind
sounds
of
like Swish / Waves / TLOP / The Life of Pablo.
Drake did it too, after Kanye though.
Exact. So then,
tell me something.
He
Drake
says
did first.
I'm gonna release a song every week until Man in the Woods comes out. You gonna release a song every week? What a creative idea! Where'd you get that from? I don't know. Good Fridays. Come on, man. We on you, JT. We see what you're doing.
I thought Good Fridays was going to usher in this era of, like, not really dropping, like, albums anymore so much. Like, dropping maybe, like, playlists or just tracks.
It kind
of
did.
And then touring off of that.
Did.
It did, but, like, people still release
so
albums.
It was ahead of its time.
It really was. Well like, beyond ahead of its
like
time.
Like, if there was, like, if the streaming era would have been, like, then, some of these, like, Cardi B, Drake records, quote, unquote, it would have been a rap. Because people had to physically download Good Friday songs. That means they had to, like, real estate on their computers.
Yeah.
Wait,
don't I remember that shit being on SoundCloud, though? You could listen off of SoundCloud.
2010?
For some reason, I remember that shit being on SoundCloud.
It might have been on SoundCloud.
I remember having to go and Google.
You had a SoundCloud app
in
2010?
I legitimately remember going
iPhone 4?
Going to Nah Right. Just for that. You guys remember Not Right?
I remember Not Right.
Yeah, I think it's still around. But I used to go there legitimately just for that. And Who was the dude that was doing the stuff with Dame Dash? Was that DD172?
Okay.
Jet Life.
I used to go Currency. To Currency.
Currency, yeah. What's that? I can't remember the dude. Ski Beats used to drop like a track like every week or 2 weeks. It was fucking great. Mos Def did a beat for him too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Breakfast.
Breakfast. Yeah. The, like second version.
Yeah.
It was like,
I was like, yo, Mos Def is a producer now. This is gonna be great.
Never I used to love again. Currency.
Yeah, Currency was great.
He's from the South.
Yeah, I'm trying because this is the most fucking tense filled conversation.
We started tense, we good now.
Homie, you we showed up in. Tense. I wouldn't say we started tense.
Okay.
You walked in ready to go.
You want to slide into this other conspiracy theory?
What, this David Bowie?
I don't like it, but go.
Yeah, so we found this David Bowie Kanye conspiracy theory, basically that David Bowie predicted Kanye West was coming to like save pop music before Kanye West was born. It's pretty insane.
It was like a passing of the baton.
Yeah, it's like a passing of the baton.
But like Optimus Prime
shit. But I predicted in a prophesized passing of the baton.
There's an album cover that says, what does it say? West?
K West.
K West.
K West.
Yeah, it's like a storefront.
Yeah. And it could be a big conspiracy theory, but
I will give him credit. It started off strong because it's Kanye West, and I'm like, uh-oh, okay. That is the only prominent thing on the
cover. I never got past the image. I saw it before, and I was like, huh, Kanye is there. Kanye West. And then I just never thought of it again. Because when Bowie died, and they were putting all his album stuff, and I was like, so I saw that, and I was like, coincidence. But I never thought of it.
What bugged me out was the guy who was talking about the conspiracy theory said that Kanye West was born 5 years and 2 days after that album was dropped, and the first track on that album, of that Ziggy Stardust album, is talking about in 5 years he's going to come. So I was like, oh, this is starting out good.
Yeah.
And then it just like,
and then it
fizzled it out after that. Yeah. No, he said in an interview one day that the dude is like going to be black. It's like that a black guy is going to be a superstar. Like, well, I mean, that could be a lot of people.
David Bowie was doing interviews on MTV talking about there's not enough black artists being played. Like before,
and who's been going back and forth with MTV? Yay! I don't know. I'm starting to see it.
You ain't got the answers.
You starting to believe?
Yeah, I'm starting to believe.
I mean, MTV's a dub now. Does anybody care?
I don't know.
There's Bowie references. There's Bowie references throughout the whole Blueprint. If you think about it,
did Bowie mean anything to you too?
Nah.
Me neither.
Not really.
Not even in the slightest.
I mess with Just Dance because of Diddy. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that was a Bowie track until like, right now.
Oh, for real?
I knew that. I know the track from Diddy. Same thing with Pressure. Dun, 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 whatever that joint was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one from the Godzilla movie.
The one without the ting. Because Vanilla Ice had a ting in there. Dun, 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 ting, ding, dun,
yeah, 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 yeah.
But you know, Bowie, they ain't had a team.
God bless for that, though, because we got samples. Thank you, Suge, for holding them over a fucking balcony.
I mean, that was the beginning of people getting sued.
No, but that's how samples were created, because of that lawsuit.
Wait, what?
You were allowed to sample a record because of that lawsuit.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, no. That's when samples got expensive.
Well, because that's when you were allowed to do it because you used to get sued for them. But now you were just like, oh, I could pay for it.
Yeah, but that's what made the price go up. There was no value set. But Vanilla Ice being the most successful rapper set the price super high.
Still worked out pretty well, though. I mean, for my era.
I mean, there's a lot of songs that we didn't get because they weren't cleared. There's a lot of samples that we don't know. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of times like Eminem and Dr. Dre didn't make anything off of My Name Is because Levy Safri didn't approve it.
Really?
Yeah. And then
God bless the mixtapes, though.
But that's the reason why the same song is also sampled. The song sounds totally different from the beginning to the end. The same song is sampled by Jay-Z on The Streets Is Watching. And that's why it's edited. That's why you can't find a version with the curses because he wouldn't approve it unless... You know, you ever listen to a rap album and you're like, I have the real version. Why can't I, like, hear the cursings on this part? It's because, like, certain people are like, I don't want cursing on there.
Oh, really?
So they edit it on every version.
Even on the official record.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
I was maybe you couldn't say that.
Maybe motherfucker. Yeah, that. Yeah. I remember I got the original Reasonable Doubt. I got the one with the gun on it, which was only 1,000 prints, because apparently there was a problem with the record label. Something happened. The imprint, they wanted his face. So most people have Reasonable Doubt album, like a CD with his actual face on it. I have the one with the gun. So in my head, when somebody told me that there was a second version, I'm like, oh shit, I must have Dead President's version 1 on there.
Yeah, the CD player in 95, yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah.
That is more impressive. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? 96, he had a CD player.
You could not touch the table it was on. You could not touch the fucking table. I had one of those long-ass like headphones with the curly wire. I mean, the kind of like the kind you used to only see like guitar players and shit use. I had one so I could get far away from that fucking player and not bump it.
That's so funny.
I had
I told you.
The first CD players, the first CDs I ever bought for that were Reasonable Doubt, Eazy-E's. I think it was the one with motherfucking Real Motherfucking G's, Real Compton City G's on it, and Hard to Earn.
Real Compton City G's.
Real Motherfucking G's.
I'm convinced that song, that beat comes from Luke Skywalker's theme from Star Wars.
I don't know anything about Star Wars.
The Return of the Jedi theme?
I'm not a Star Wars dude.
No. When he's on Tatooine, like...
Real motherfucking G.
Oh, the... do you mean the closing thing? Like, or the closing theme or the one where he's like looking out at the sunset?
When he's looking out at the double sunset.
All right.
That beat was so dope. And the video was just shitting on Dr. Dre, which I'd never seen anybody do. And on Suge Knight, which no one to this day still has done. Y'all think Suge really gave him AIDS?
I don't believe in an AIDS bullet.
Oh, no? No, it was a needle, right?
Oh.
He said he gave him full-blown AIDS. Because apparently...
What kind of gloves Suge Knight got? You know what I'm saying? Like
Suge would never do it on his own. He'd hire somebody.
So he has a guy?
He got an AIDS guy.
And then what happens when you stop paying the AIDS guy? And he shows up like, nah, I need more money.
You gotta pay the AIDS guy.
Get out of here.
Oh, AIDS guy's coming.
This get sounds out like of here with your of
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. technology. Yeah. I don't think this exists.
He said that shit on Jimmy Kimmel, though. You gotta respect him.
Who said that on Jimmy Kimmel?
Suge.
He said what?
He said that he insinuated he gave Eazy-E. He's like, do him like we did Eazy-E. Just go up to him and bah, give him that full-blown, I forget what's the nickname they used to have for AIDS back in the day.
Back in the Jimmy Kimmel days?
This is like 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago.
He used to call it grid, like way back.
No, I forget.
It's probably offensive.
I learned that in grade.
The package, full-blown package.
Oh, the full-blown package.
Full-blown package. He said, just hit him with a needle. He was smoking a cigar and put his feet up on the table, and Jimmy Kimmel's like, okay. I don't think he understood what he was trying to say.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I got to watch that interview.
Yeah.
I got to see Jimmy Kimmel's facial expression when he realized.
I think he's just laughing. I think he's just
That's
laughing.
All you could do.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to say to Suge? Please don't put your feet up? I mean, come on now.
Suge been on his death pit for like the last 3 years. I'm still terrified of ever seeing Suge Knight.
I'll never believe he's dead.
Nah, he's immortal. He's been here for thousands of years.
The dude next to you gets fucking gunned down and you don't even have shrapnel? Fuck.
Man, we've been all over.
We've been
the
so
place,
over
man.
The place. I don't know where we go circle back.
We were talking about David Bowie, and I didn't know nothing about David Bowie.
We got to ask him the basic questions.
Yeah.
This is how long we've been away for, like at least a month right now.
Yeah.
But we asked everybody who comes on a podcast, what was your introduction to Kanye?
We're about to listen to it. I'm just a little mad at niggas coming at my neck like my teammate the best in the world. Like, we ain't got B, Cam, J, Bleak, Freeway. You know the conspiracy with this. He disses Jay by pausing before his name.
I didn't hear the pause.
He's supposedly, like, if you go to the, I forgot where online, someone explains it all. Like, at this point is the height of the beef that no one knows about. Mm-hmm. Where he's about to be made vice president if he wasn't already a Rockefeller, and that pisses off Jay, which starts off the whole breakup, right? So already there's beef where Jay doesn't even want to be on this track. He barely is in this album, right? So he basically says, like, we're this, and I'll do blah, 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 and I'll ride for all y'all. Break, Jay and Bleak, blah, blah, blah. If I got beef, I'll cross the bridge, mean, like, he's saying, like, I'll come, supposedly he's saying, like, I'll cross the bridge to defend y'all. But the conspiracy theory is, like, I'll cross the bridge to defend, like, my real team. Like, I'll stomp you guys out if it has to be.
Mm.
So, like, because he's from Harlem and Dame is from Harlem. So crossing the bridge is, like, I'll leave Manhattan if I have to. Which you guys might not know. Back in the day, that was, like, a real – the fact that Dame even signed Jay was huge in New York. Yeah. Because no one – like, Brooklyn and Harlem never fucked with each other. That was instant beef when they saw each other. Dudes dressed really well, Harlem. Dudes wearing Gore-Tex and Tim's and ACGs, Brooklyn, and there was always beef.
But Diddy signed Biggie.
Westchester. Diddy from Westchester. He raps Harlem, but he's from Westchester. And also, Diddy was about money. Like, Diddy wasn't like a Harlem dude like that.
But I've heard Dame say that, like, him making that move was, like, kind of influenced by...
Yeah, it was.
What just happened with Bad Boy.
Yeah, I mean, it was big. Also, Dame said the reason he was comfortable signing Jay is because the way he tied his shoes.
And Jay wore Nikes.
Yeah, which was, that's a very, if you wore all white Air Force Ones, that was a legit sign that you were from at least Southern Brooklyn, Southern Bronx and Harlem. Like, that was it. That was it. Like, they don't even have chopped cheese in Brooklyn. Like, they always were separate. Like, always very different. And Jay was comfortable
people
dressing
like. People weren't wearing all whites in
Brooklyn? No. They don't have chopped cheese in Brooklyn.
They don't. They do steak and cheese in Brooklyn.
Mm.
So Brooklyn would never, you would never wear Air Force Ones if you were a Brooklyn dude. Never. That's like a blood wearing blue. You know what I mean? Like, you just wouldn't do that. That was like a for, they're called Uptowns. You were up from Uptown if you wore that.
Mm.
So that was the first track I heard Kanye on.
Okay.
The first interview I ever heard him on was the Old Power 105 one when Dre and Ed Lover and Dr. Dre, they used to be like the kings of morning radio in New York, and they were on Hot 97 forever. They were Hot 97. Like, Angie Martinez eventually took that, and she was Hot 97 when she moved to 105.1. That was massive. Same thing happened to Ed Lover and Dr. Dre, and he went on that radio station. He's like, I'm going to be the best in the world. I'm going to be number one. Blah, blah, blah. And I remember I was in my buddy's car, and we were just laughing. He's like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, that's the dude who, he did one track, and that's when he's still talking like this. He still had the jaw shut, and that's the first time I heard Through the Wire, was he was doing that interview, and everyone was laughing at him. They're like, dude, you got to calm down. He's like, yo, I'm going to be the best in the world. I'm going to be bigger than Michael Jackson. Like, he was just talking crazy.
Wow.
And it's so funny because I think back to that interview all the time, and I'm like, to some degree he did it, you know what I mean? Like, he did what he said he was gonna do. And at that time he was like backpack, you know, like nobody really fucked with like dudes like that, because we were all like, you had to be hard as fuck. You at least had to pretend you were hard as fuck.
You heard the backpack on the radio?
No, like, we knew who we saw. We knew who it was. You could hear it. Just,
yo, I hear Jan's voice. What the hell?
Yeah, they put a mic on the backpack. Oh, the backpack has something to say. Like, we were like, he's like, I remember shortly after that when the blazers started getting real popular, like, he would rock a blazer. I had a corduroy blazer with elbow patches that I called my Kanye jacket, because it was so synonymous with him, because, like, nobody was doing that until he did it, essentially. Like, he was one of the first few people we saw do it. So I remember thinking back to that. I think back to that interview all the fucking time, and I'm like, my God. We were all laughing at him. The people on the radio were laughing at him. Like, you're never going to be huge, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't sound like everyone else. You're not dangerous, you know? And all of a sudden, boom, he's fucking huge. Well, I mean, not all of a sudden. It took a while, but he's massive.
Yeah.
When fucking 808 dropped, I was like, everybody was talking about it. Like, the shock I heard the first time I went to a white person party and they were playing Wu-Tang. And I was like, y'all know who this is? Like, I was shocked. Like, I know dudes in the hood that love Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
That was always impressive to me. I didn't know everybody fucked with Wu-Tang. I thought that was just us. First time I heard that, that's the surprise I had when I saw, like, everyone cared about what was, like, 808s was coming out.
See, I'm, like, slightly younger than you. So I remember white people messing with Wu-Tang more than black people.
Yeah, I think the later you get, the less it was, like, a hood thing. Because it was also so cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they...
But I loved it, but I was nine. You know, I was nine when Triumph came out. So I was like, this is great. They know what I'm into. You know what I'm saying? Like, monster movies, kung fu, you know?
Like, it's all there. Yeah.
Rap. This is everything.
It's real Pixar-ish, this shit. Yeah, it's very different.
Killer bees. Man, we just learned about bees. This is great.
I mean,
I feel like it was more like the legend of the Wu-Tang Clan at that point.
Yeah, it was so different. Like, it's different now. Like, when, like, I'm talking about, like, when Cuban Link came out, everything stopped. Everything. We're like, oh my God, the tape is purple. You know? Holy shit. I mean, I was a kid, but we were all like, everybody. Like, you would go to a bodega, you would go to school, anywhere you went, a public bus, everybody was talking about, like, incarcerated Scarfaces and all that shit. Like, that's how it felt. At least the closest that I could remember, when 808 came out, everybody was... Yeezus already, I knew. Like, but 808 was the moment where I'm like, wait, everybody knows about this? Like, all of y'all care? That was, like, everyone. I was like, all right, cool.
You don't think Graduation hit everyone?
Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I just don't think I was paying attention, because I had College Dropout. And I fucked up and I bought all the bleep tracks. I bought all, like, the edited, the radio version. I was so mad. So I listened to it. I just didn't fuck with it that heavy because I was so annoyed. So I really didn't pay attention when Graduation came out. I just wasn't paying attention. Like, maybe I knew the singles. You know what I mean? If you told me what singles were on it, I would be like, yeah, I fucked with those. I know you know. You know the samples. I guarantee you know that. But I wasn't paying attention to whether people fuck with it or not. And then with fucking 808, I was like, everybody was fucking.
Well, what
it
was your first impression when you heard this song, though?
I'm like, yo, why are they rapping over singing? Like, this isn't going to work. You guys got to wait till the singing is done.
I remember being annoyed.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever listened to the whole thing until, like, years later. Because when it came out, I was like, this is just, like, people, like, playing around over We Are the Champions.
I was like, they're not even trying anymore. You know?
A lot of that album was, like,
still
old school.
Like, Dame and shit. I was like, all right.
Yeah. I was such a Dame head.
It's like, the Paid in Full soundtrack. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of those songs were old school songs anyway. So,
the
whole
first CD is old tracks. The second CD was new. So, I just threw the first CD out. I've heard those a million times.
Now, I would have definitely, you know what I'm saying, did a side high dive.
Caught that.
No. Please. Caught that first CD. Because that's what I was really on at that time, was like old school rap. Like,
no,
I like,
you?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah, man. Like,
yeah, I'm being
sarcastic. I was like a whole golden era. Like, at that time, that's what I was listening to.
I had an old school era. But for me, it was more like my old school was like, all the dudes that had, like, the leather Africa, like, pendants. Like, that era.
I had that phase in college.
Did you?
A phase of, like, like, Public Enemy.
Yeah.
You know, all the, anything the Bomb
Squad
touch. Leaders
of the New School.
Yeah,
that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I went through a heavy, like, what would happen. Like, when Biggie died, I fell back to what was hip-hop before Biggie started. So, Smith & Wesson, Buckshot Shorty, all those guys, all that East New York shit.
See, when Biggie died,
jazzy music was
huge
for me.
I took a small break from rap, and I just, like,
I did too.
I listened to, like, old school, like, R&B, like, a lot of stuff from the 70s, a lot of stuff from the 60s, just because I was just, like, you know, I was a child. Like, I was really affected. Like, when Biggie died, because it was, like, Tupac, now Biggie, like, it was
Biggie was
just,
05.
Like,
how old were you in 05?
Biggie was 97.
You say
97. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else. But how old were you when Biggie died?
When Biggie died, I was 9.
Damn.
I didn't even, you know, have a like,
no,
a deep
I was,
connection to him.
I was turning
like
9. I was 8.
I was 6 years old. 6 or 5. Well, I guess it was 90. You said 95?
No.
97.
Biggie
97.
Died in March of 97. Tupac died in September
of 96. I was 6 years old. So I was, you know.
Damn. All right. Maybe I am an
third grade was rough, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we learned cursive now. You know what I'm saying? Tupac died. Next semester, Biggie died. It's like, man.
Everything's falling apart on us.
What are we doing in fourth grade, man? We got standardized testing, man. You know what I'm saying? Masterpiece coming out, man. What are we going to do, man?
The essay questions aren't geared for that.
First Masterpiece track I ever heard is on this album. The Bout About a remix with Cam.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
We didn't fuck with it. I didn't know who it was. We knew who, like...
Which was it? Did you not like it or did you not know it?
No, we
said both. We didn't fuck with it and I didn't know what it was. Like,
we knew who like Master P was, we knew who like C Murder was, we knew who Silk the Murderer was. We were just like, all right.
He just makes Silk the Murderer.
With Silk the Shocker, my bad. We knew who these people were, and we were like, all right. We just didn't fuck with it. Like, I didn't know where to hear it. I certainly wasn't buying it. The Bout It remix was the first time that someone was like, I was like, oh, this music is kind of dope.
That's Beats by the Pound. Like they did all the they did all the beats for No Limits. So like that Bout It beat. The thing about Master P is Master P was in charge. He was not. He set up the mold of like the guy in charge doesn't have to be the best rapper. So Baby saw that and was like, see, the guy in charge doesn't be the best rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like him and Diddy, it's at the same time where it's like, hey. If I'm signing the checks,
I don't have to rhyme.
I don't have to write my rhymes, and my rhymes don't have to be the best because I'm going to be here. You know what I'm saying? That was like the beginning of that. So Master P would always put people around him who were talented. Mystical was just an insanely talented rapper. Like Pimp C is on a lot of those old Master P songs. Like some of his best verses are not on UGK songs. They're on like old No Limit stuff.
Really? When did Snoop join No Limit? I
remember Snoop joined No Limit after Tupac died and like Death Row, you know, Suge Knight got locked up and Death Row was kind of like went away.
That was like 99 maybe?
No. Because Tupac died in 96 and then.
But he didn't sign right away, right? Like it was like.
It was
he went away for like a year.
It felt fast. It might have been a year, but I'm saying like. You know, it felt fast. He put out an album pretty quickly. He put out like maybe 3 albums with No Limit.
Yeah, he put out a ton. I remember the then you know what I did hear of Master P because they had that one where they did they play basketball in the video and Shaq is in the video and there's a tank.
Make
in
him
it.
Say
yeah. Yeah, there was a tank that came out before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I definitely did. All right, then I did hear Master P before that, but that was all I knew.
That's when that was like Master P's like. Yo, I made it.
That's
like,
bam, bam.
Yeah.
Bam, bam.
Yeah, that's like. Bam,
bam. That was a dope beat, actually.
It ain't my fault. Like, we were playing that before basketball games. In Detroit, were y'all listening to No Limit?
Yeah.
Because, see, No Limit, Master P was like, he was from New Orleans, but he got a lot of game in the Bay. He, like, opened for Tupac. He went on tour with Tupac.
Oh, did he really?
Like selling records out of the trunk. So he like in the true song Bout It where he's shouting out all these hoods, he had mixtapes everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe not in New York, but the rest of the country got a lot of that No Limit stuff and it was a lot of music.
You'd be at the barbershop and they would have like the best of the South. Like that was the type of mixtapes we would get with some of those things, but nobody really bought it or listened to it. And at that time there was so much stuff coming out of New York. That you like, there wasn't a break to listen to some other shit.
I feel like if some people like that, everybody wasn't like that. Because when I came to New York and I started riding the train and I started seeing like I could hear what other people was listening to, I was like, oh, okay, it's definitely people up here that like listen to music from the South.
What
it's just
this,
not
though?
Everybody. This is like 2010.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different era in New York, though. Like before 05. There wasn't that many people from outside New York. I knew a lot of New Yorkers that had moved out.
But I talked to PD. PD knows about all kind of like stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine
get more Bronx than PD.
No, that's true.
I can't imagine it because I feel like in Detroit, it was like all that new shit and play like from South and everything, like we were getting it. You know, we might not have had like the extensive, like everything in the catalog, but we were still getting it and we didn't have an issue with it because I feel like you didn't have too many people to ride for it. Like it wasn't like a loyalty thing or anything like that.
I guess it was just different maybe with just the people that I rolled because it was like you were either Biggie or Tupac. You couldn't be both. Like you everything in New York at that time in Newark.
Well, that's a little different.
Well,
everybody like, felt like they had to do that for some reason.
Like even in Newark was like you chose sides. Like I remember being like you couldn't be about cannabis if you were a fan of like, you know, like
nobody.
Clef. Cannabis at bars though.
You ever meet that like one kid that was like real into Bone Thugs or that one kid that was like real into 3-6 Mafia and you're like, whoa. Like,
not 3-6, but Bone Thugs got a lot. There was a lot of kids that all of a sudden started like, and we're like
Bone Thugs
so
nerds
fast?
Used to scare me. There was this one kid and he was obsessed
was it
with
the perms?
Bone Thugs. And, huh?
Was it the perms?
You know what?
He
looked like he tried.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a like long enough hair.
There was no YouTube tutorials back then.
Every Bone Thugs dude I knew had a perm, had a straight perm.
Or
curl at the end.
Their hair was already straight and they just like did it to make it look like Bone Thugs. You know, like they already had straight hair and they was like, all right, this busy bone life.
We talked about this and this upset you. Like me and all of my friends and everyone I knew at that time, we had no idea what Gucci Mane was when he first popped. A lot of people give him lyrics for bars. I've had to go back and re-listen because all we got was my chain hangs down to my dick, right? I'm so icy.
It's
and,
fun to say.
Yeah, sure. And I'm not going to take that away from him. And she's a very freaky girl. Mm-hmm. Can't take her to mama. That joint.
That makes me sad because that's all the stuff when we'd be like, come on, Gucci.
Yeah, that's like when you talk about DMX, you know, y'all going to make me lose my mind. We'd all be like, stop. That's not the shit.
Drop.
Yeah.
Shut him down.
Go back. Yeah, give him the tunnel music. Give him the tunnel music. That was a dope track. Y'all didn't like that down south?
Oh, we loved that. Yeah, we love the remix, you know?
Still bad.
First we had them like, oh.
Now they're like, no. Yeah. Well, baby.
What'd you think of X go give it to you?
Oh, I hate it. Still hate it. Same thing with Eminem. Like, Jimmy Iovine did an interview once where he said, I told Eminem he has to have two pop singles on every album.
But okay.
And I'm always like, get out of that.
My
Why?
Thing about Eminem is Eminem didn't respect it. So he clowned around on all those pop singles. And that's why Eminem doesn't have a club presence. And Eminem's gonna go away in some people's eyes. Not everybody's eyes.
He kind of went away in my eyes because he hasn't adapted.
When they go back and like they play old Jay-Z, they play old Biggie, they play old, you know, there's always something to play. There's no Eminem song to play.
No, he's got that, what's the one, Lose Yourself in the Moment. That's a club one.
You don't hear that.
I mean, but that's like a danceable one, right?
Could,
of all the shit.
It ain't
dancing to Lose Yourself?
That's the only one I can think of.
What
that's
I'm
like
saying
a fucking...
is, if you're going to make Smack That, at least make Smack That go. He made it.
Smack That's a silly song.
Smack That is bad. He didn't take it seriously.
I love Eminem for his silly, jokey shit, but it's kind of novelty.
It is. Yeah. It's a caricature of who he really is.
Right.
I like my favorite M track is Renegade. So I'm kind of
Renegade's dope.
That's like the first time I heard him like rhyme where I'm like, yeah, I wish I heard that all the time as opposed to like my name is.
Did you know that Renegade was supposed to be him
and Jay
and Royce the 5'9"?
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be him and Jay. Did the remix, didn't he?
No,
Jay.
That's the song, isn't it? Is it Renegade, him and Jay?
No,
it is him and Jay.
Yeah. I thought that was the remix.
No. That's a song.
Maybe the video came out and it didn't
have
Jay in
video.
It? Role Model has a video where he's sitting on a chair. That's the one I'm thinking of the video of. All right.
But Renegade is also another Bowie reference. You know what I'm saying? Renegade! Like, that's them doing Fame, which they also did on The Takeover.
Yeah, The Takeover was dope.
And...
That's
another Bowie reference on The Blueprint. And
that's
it's
a
like,
Doors.
Who was playing the, huh?
That's a Doors.
No, beat. But Use Your Brain.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I'm talking about the Takeover.
It's a Doors beat. Yeah. But I'm saying we was talking about all those songs. Well, not Renegade, but I was just wondering, was Jay-Z listening to Bowie when he was recording The Blueprint, or like was he listening to that one song? Like, what made him reference Fame throughout The Blueprint?
Maybe it was Kanye.
Maybe. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking because, you know, Kanye produced The Takeover. But then also, I don't know. Was he in the room when The Takeover was made? I don't know.
For a little while, I thought Kanye was a little bit of a coward because he went with Jay instead of Dame, and Dame was the one who brought him into... Told him he could rap, you know, when Jay didn't want him there.
But maybe it was he went with Def Jam over Rockefeller.
I think that's why I said for a little while.
You know.
Because it makes sense.
I was a little like, dang, like Dame was the one who like vouched for, you know, I was like a little bit, but then I also like understand, but I always saw Kanye as bigger than Rockefeller.
He very quickly became bigger than Rockefeller, but at that time, I don't think I saw him as that.
I saw Rockefeller as like I love these guys.
Yeah.
These guys are great, but 5 years from now, am I going to be listening to Petey Crack? I don't know.
Would he be making music?
Am I going? You know, am I going to take an exit off this freeway?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Are these beans going to make me sick eventually? I don't know. You know?
Shouts to Philadelphia.
Are these young guns going to get older? I don't know. I don't know how these guns are going to shoot 5 years from now.
Mature
but what
guns.
I do know is that Kanye is going to be there.
I really thought, I was like, man, Dame was your dude. You turn your back on him. He actually admitted it in an interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I kind of felt like a coward. He's like, yeah, I did.
But he made the right decision.
Yeah, in the end.
And Dame.
Although we don't know what would have happened if he wrote with Dame. He would have given all those beats to Dame. He would have been putting all his albums out on Dame's label. It could have been a completely different turn of events.
He wouldn't have outgrown that.
But he wouldn't have been a superstar.
He wouldn't have been able to because Dame would have done the same thing he did to Jay.
We wouldn't have had the Glow in the Dark tour. We wouldn't have had.
You don't know that.
I think so.
You did, all right.
I think that was a
very the tables have turned. You're giving me emotion.
Move, you know what I mean?
I went to the Glow in the Dark tour.
For real?
Yeah, it was dope. The only thing I didn't like was his mom had just passed away just before that. And he had these it was like LED screen on the floor and on the sides. It was like a box, but you could look inside of it. It was all LED screens, and he put like that sort of time lapse thing of the clouds, and like fast going fast. And he lays down. He just puts his hand on his head, and they played "Just a Small Town Girl Living in South Detroit," whatever, in that Journey song. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 minutes in, he like gets up and he's like, "That's for you, Mom." And then he keeps going. And we're like. No one knew what was happening at the time, so people were just like getting up and going to get like something to drink. It's like, damn, if everyone knew that was a tribute for your mom, dog, I think they would have had a little bit more respect. There's like people ordering popcorn during a tribute to your mother.
And that wasn't for you.
No, it wasn't.
That wasn't for y'all popcorn get it. That was for Donda.
I think people would have had a little bit more respect if they would have known that.
Hey, man.
That's the only nitpick I can have about that concert, because that concert was amazing.
I don't know how to get back to the song.
We're talking about Kanye. I thought that's what y'all wanted.
I mean, yo, what's your favorite and least favorite Kanye song?
It's a great question. My least favorite Kanye song is The Workout Plan.
Okay.
Right?
Fair, I guess.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I hate it. I also don't like...
Birth of Auto-Tune and Rap.
Okay.
Chicago rapper. Kanye West.
And then he kills it. Not too much. And then he gets back to it, right? He was on Death of Auto-Tune, right?
Mm-mm.
Wasn't he?
No, that's Jay-Z by himself.
Jay and Rihanna.
No ID made a track. Let the story begin.
All right, my bad. I thought Kanye made that beat. But that's probably the one that I think is the worst. Gold Digger is close second. Not a fan.
We don't need your bottom five.
All right.
We just need
my worst and my first, I would probably say, does it count if I say, what is it, The Food? I can't remember the name of the track. The one they did on the Chappelle Show?
You can count that.
All right, then that one's my favorite.
It's on B, right? It's on the Common album B?
Yeah, it's a Common song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can definitely. That was a all moment. Right. That was the first time we saw Kanye like in his Kanye swag, you know what I'm saying, with the blazer on, you know. I don't know what they was cooking. They was just, putting a lot of water in a lot of pans.
That's a Food Network set.
Really?
Yeah. That's the same set Giada De Laurentiis uses.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as I saw it, I was like, yo, that's Giada's place. And I fucking knew it was a Food Network set. I was like, what are they going to do? And then he kind of like...
weren't doing nothing.
No, but he
they weren't cooking nothing.
He was moving
they
around,
clearly
though.
Not on Comedy Central set.
No, they were moving around like he was moving around with like this like slightly nervous sort of energy to him. But I think it was that thing of like Common was such a fucking monolith in the Chicago scene,
mm-hmm.
and now he's working not just with but soon for.
Yeah.
You know, like, yo, you got so big, you scooped up Common.
Yeah.
Like that's massive. That moment was really, really special.
I like two words on Chappelle's show when they was on the roof and they like, it's so cold.
Yeah.
It's clearly like not a good day to shoot.
Chappelle's got to take the gloves off.
Everybody's so cold and you could just see them breathing their breath out. And Kanye's got a hat on and a scarf. You can't even see him. And like freeways, like, oh man, it's so funny. But
the beat for the food was dope too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What sample was that? Oh my God, did we stump Rob Hayes?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I want everyone to know he's not using his phone.
Yeah, no.
He's closing his eyes and going to the Rolodex.
I'm not going to guess wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm not one of those you wrong and I don't know the answer
type
people.
Why
are
you looking at me, dog? Fuck out of here.
This is the reason I invented that.
He could have looked at me, though, when he said that.
So, yeah, I'm not going to take a stab at it. I could hear the keys.
Me, too. It's dope.
Yeah, but I can't.
That's one of those few tracks where I'm like, there's multiple people on it, but it just feels right. It doesn't feel overdone by one person or the other. I hate when there's two people on a track that don't normally work together, and they're both doing their own thing, and it doesn't blend very well.
Yeah.
You could tell they were in two different studios, and a mixer was just like, all right, an audio engineer was like, yeah, we'll put it together. You know, shouts to everything.
Shouts to everything.
Shouts to everything.
If you a thing out there, shouts to you. Shouts out the person.
Yeah.
Shout out to Monique. Places.
Adams.
Shout out to Monique.
I was going to say shouts to Lil Yachty, but I didn't want to disrespect an Atlanta artist.
What you mean? Shout out to Lil Yachty.
Every track he's on that he's featured doesn't go with what the rest of everyone
else
is saying.
Yo, no, that's not how you do a shout out. You just say shout out to the person and then you just move on.
Shout
out to the whole sailing team. If you're out there with a sailboat, shout out to you.
Yeah,
you know
man.
What I'm saying?
No boat.
Shout out to the Simmons family. Shout out to Diggy. Shout out to JoJo, Nessa, Angela. You know what I'm saying? The little baby. Who knows how old you are now? You're probably listening. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to whoever bought the license agreement for Pastries. I know you're trying.
Okay.
That'll come out. I'm sure there's like a purse right now that says Pastry on it.
Shout out to anyone that has a pair of Rockefeller Pro Keds.
The fuck are those?
I had them.
Pro Keds are shoes. Like, they were like basketball shoes in the 70s. They would go against Converse and stuff. But Dame Dash bought them and put out a bunch of Rockefeller Pro Kids like in 05.
He also put
were
out.
They better than S-Dots?
I thought so because they kind of look like Air Force
they
Ones.
They kind of look like Air Force Ones.
They look like Bapes. They were like patent leather joints too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had the Trinidad joints and I knew the company that made them.
You knew Pro Ked.
No, Pro Ked
you
is
knew Ked.
No, I know Senor Ked is how he likes to be called.
Mr. Ked.
Yeah. they're a sneaker company and they just mm-hmm. licensed some of their sneakers to Pro Keds, essentially is what they did. But they made a special pair of all whites for my wife for her wedding. So
really?
under her wedding dress, she wore all white patent leather Pro Keds.
That's crazy.
Straight from the factory. Never
you
sold.
You did get married 11 years ago.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I told you we A-Town stopped at my wedding. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought it was for nostalgia until you said the date. And I was like, oh, no, they were just playing when it was hot.
Yeah.
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 That's dope.
Again.
Well.
We gotta wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up. Alexis, would you like to tell us? I know you got a podcast that's about soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us about that? Also, what you got going on?
Yeah. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Atlanta for saving MLS. Because although you ruined hip hop, you saved soccer.
See that?
I just did it. I just did it.
You don't back up. You make it seem like you back up. Then he tried to, you know what I'm saying, put one in there. And then y'all be like, Robbie, you too intense, man. You need to calm down. You know what I'm saying? We're going to edit some of this out.
Is that what y'all texting each other?
No,
72,000 people going to that stadium in Atlanta for a regular season soccer game is amazing. If you want to hear more
about
soccer.
What do they chant? When they chant, are they chanting some up north rap? Or are they chants from Atlanta?
Well, they do. I think they do a lot of We Ready is their
We
big song?
Ready, an Archie song, an Atlanta artist. Continue.
They have Footy Mob is the name of one of their supporters
Footy
groups.
Mob, reference to Goody Mob,
yes.
A non-outcast group that a lot of people respect from Atlanta. Yes, continue.
I mean, they rep their city. That's what you're supposed to do. I think it's wonderful. I don't think enough soccer supporters culture comes from their own city, so I'm happy they do it. It's called the Cooligans. If you guys like soccer, it's funny. Unlike I was on this podcast,
what are you talking about?
This was fun for y'all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had fun. It's a very
what
fun podcast. I didn't know it was coming into a war zone. Is all I'm saying. No, I actually
you
had a great time.
You threw
down
grenade.
A war ass jacket.
That jacket is war zone or what?
Yeah.
That's very apocalypse now. Apocalypse then.
It's called the Cooligans. Look it up. It's fun. If you like soccer, We did a live event in Atlanta and it sold out. That's our second home. So I apologize for everything I said on this podcast because y'all love us. y'all love us and we love you back. We love you back, Atlanta United fans. Yeah, that's it. We talk about all of soccer, but we mainly talk about American soccer, which I don't think gets any love. It certainly doesn't get any love from people that sound like me and Christian Polanco, a Cuban and Dominican dude. You know, it's a lot of boring-ass white people that talk about soccer, so we want to change that.
Dope. Maybe I'll come on, you know what I'm saying, talk about my man Thierry Henry, you know what I mean?
the Englishman?
Yeah. Talk about my experience playing soccer in high school.
You play soccer in high school?
I was varsity in soccer because it was our first year having a male team. And, you know, that I found my funny on that sideline.
You didn't play a lot?
No, I didn't.
Center back, defender?
No. You know what? My lungs aren't the best for running around, so it worked out that I didn't play a lot.
Me too, actually. That's why I stopped playing. I started talking about it.
I played in middle school. I was I guess you would say a forward? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right.
Were you up front?
Yeah. I was in the All-Star game.
Fuck out of here. This is beautiful.
Yeah. It was the, like, weird, like, Christian/Catholic league in Detroit.
Yeah.
In middle school, I was at a private school.
Yeah, the CYOs.
Made the fucking All-Star game.
And Christian Youth Organization?
Yeah. And then it was Cornerstone. That was the name of the school, but I don't remember the exact name for the whole thing. But yeah, and I went to, then in high school when I was like 15, my family moved to the suburbs, and I was like, oh, these white kids are really good. I'm going to go back to basketball.
Well, that's the issue with soccer. I'm not going to talk about it, but for a long time, it was a very expensive sport to play.
Uh-huh. What?
You just got to get a ball. No,
nah.
I mean, as far as like being an academy, like you got to be in a travel teams and shit. Like if you want to be good, you got to be a part of a lot of these clubs, they're called. They're club teams. That's very expensive. A lot of travel involved.
You just need to get a ball, dog.
They don't do that. Like they we don't. There's not a lot of soccer pickup games, so it's really hard. You have to be a part of those.
Not in this country. In other countries, I be seeing the commercials.
Yeah,
they be out there with just a ball. They don't even have shoes on.
If we had that culture here, I grew up around a lot of Jamaican dudes and around a lot of Brazilian dudes that did have that culture, but that was rare. That was super rare. Like I would travel around like where my friends lived, like friends that I had that like lived in Belleville, or friends that had like my cousin when he moved to Long Island, outside the city, like. I would go there and be like, yo, y'all want to play soccer? And they're like, oh, there's no game today. I'm like, what do you mean? Let's just go play. And they're like, oh, where are we going to find people? I'm like, I don't know. How about me and you just kick a fucking ball? That wasn't a part of the thing. So it's so expensive that it ended up being all middle class white kids. That's what sucks. Like everywhere else, like, you know, Neymar had to learn playing by like shoving newspapers into a fucking water bottle. And that was a ball for him barefoot. You know what I mean? And he's just got sold for $222 million.
I'm not even good. I'm trying to visualize.
Why would you not play football with that? That's so football shaped. Anyway,
they don't have that down there.
Now all that and more on a Cooligans podcast. Yeah, with Alexis Guerreros and Christian Polanco.
You can follow us at Soccer Cooligans.
I listen to it. You guys are dope. If you guys got a Freddie Adu episode?
Not yet, but we might get JoJo on. Do you know who JoJo is, the singer?
Mm-hmm.
She dated Freddie Adu.
Right now.
Who she dated Freddie Adu.
You remember JoJo?
Yeah.
It's a little too late. All right. guys, shout out to The Roots. Shout out to...
shout out to everything.
Jimmy Fallon, yo. I'm going to be on The Tonight Show. Check it out.
Oh. What?
I don't know what... I thought you were going to say something.
I'm not following Tonight Show, please. yeah, follow us, Bookie A on Twitter. Rob, follow me. And look forward to more podcasts for the rest of the year. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, peace. We back.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.